Bro, what's up?
Dude, just watching the dating game.
Right on. Hey, dude, guess what tonight?
What?
Pool party, my house, 8 o'clock.
The misty mountains cold, to dungeons deep and caverns old. The pines were roaring on the fire was red, it flaming spread. The trees like torches blazed with light.
Welcome to Pool Party Radio. This is the podcast where we talk about Joseph Stalin's cats. I am your host, Parker, joined as always by co-host Razorblades Frisbee.
Hello.
You can reach us at poolpartyradio@gmail.com. If you like, you can also go to our website, poolpartyradio.com, and download every single episode we've ever done for free. You can also follow the show on Twitter at poolpartyradio. I see that you're off those Twitters. You're not really doing any tweets, are you, Jason Frisbee?
Not at all, no. I keep saying that I will, and I have not. I'm not really certain why. I know I always say that, like, hey, I'm not certain why I'm doing any tweets. But I have no idea why. I come up with funny stuff every now and again, but I get really paranoid, I guess, would be the main thing. Like, I don't want to tweet something that I'm going to regret later. That sounds really dumb, though.
Like that time that the Nazi Party of America tweeted you, and they're like, hey, you want to join up? And you're like, yeah. And then you immediately regretted it.
Yeah, I still regret it. I don't know why I've untweeted them.
Yeah.
That's not even a thing, is it? You can't untweet something. No. You can only like follow somebody or not follow somebody. But yeah, I don't know why I haven't. Yeah. I need to tweet more. I agree. Do you tweet often?
I'm tweeting all the time, but I'm sort of this Twitter's getting on my nerves lately because it seems like something like 45% of the people I follow on Twitter now don't tweet. But instead, they have their Twitter connected to their Tumblr or their Facebook.
So right.
Anytime they post anything on Tumblr or you know, post anything on Facebook, it just shows up as a link to that on the Twitter, and it's fucking annoying. I mean, you know, I like looking at Twitter. I like getting on there, and I like just being like, oh, you know, Andrew Breitbart, Andrew Breitbart died today. That's news. And you know, looking through and, you know, seeing like the people being like, oh, you know, he's great, or the people being like, oh, he sucks. And, you know, like that's what I like. You know, I like quick news. I like quick bits of stuff on Twitter. You know, I don't want to have to be like, oh, okay, here's a link to Tumblr. Let me click that on my phone there. And then like 45 seconds later, that'll pop up in like another window, you know, and I'm like, oh, here's a picture on Tumblr of, Edward Scissorhands, a still from Edward Scissorhands with the caption of what they're saying in the scene at the bottom. Oh, that's great. I'm glad I spent so much time getting to that instead of, you know, getting Bill Simmons making fun of Kobe or something. More tweets about that. I got to look at these shitty Tumblr pictures now all day.
You're looking for hilarious tweets.
I wanted the tweets. I wanted the tweets and a fine tomato sauce. But now I'm just getting all these shitty Tumblrs, and it's upsetting. It's not what that's not what Twitter is for. It's like Jesus said, leave the tumbling to the Caesars or whatever it
was. I feel like that's really accurate. So I'm going to go with that one.
Then like I spend about 8 hours a day on Tumblr as it is. So, I mean, I'm seeing all the Tumblrs I want to see. When I go to Twitter, I'm out of Tumblr mode. No longer do I want to see, you know, fat chicks talking about how being fat is not unhealthy, and or the aforementioned Edward Scissorhand clips. That's all Tumblr is.
See, to me, all that Tumblr was the 1960s cartoon version of Spider-Man meme.
Oh, yeah.
That's all I would look at it for. I would just try to find like Spider-Man driving a car with the white block lettering saying, "What the fuck am I doing?" Lols.
Yeah, there's lots of that.
It is perfect. Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, so your birthday's coming up. You got big plans?
No, not at all. It's kind of embarrassing to be having like a 28th birthday. And just recently, I've gone to some pretty awesome birthday celebrations, like frequent pool party guest host, John Holmes.
I don't have the traps named up.
There'd be an drop right there.
Sorry, I don't have that software open.
Well, you can imagine what it would sound like then. I went to his birthday celebration, which was him doing stand up for people, and it was awesome. He did really well and was very, very funny on the Go Bananas stage in Cincinnati. Among like so many other comedians, one of whom was Jeff Tate, very funny guy also. He's going to be on Craig Ferguson apparently this week. But yeah, that was John's birthday, and it was great, you know, being able to hang out with him, have a few beers and whatnot, and see him do some comedy, some golden comedy. And then this past Sunday, I went to a roller disco party. It was a roller skating disco party in Fairborn, and that was awesome. Like, there was, again, like some alcohol to consume, some really great food that was there.
They're giving alcohol at the roller rink?
They just encourage you not to bring it onto the floor, like onto the roller rink floor.
That sounds nice.
Way nice. I mean, one person in particular was very, very handy about getting on those libations and then just letting it ride. He crashed so many goddamn times.
Excellent.
It was pretty excellent. He was dressed excellently too. Like, everybody was dressed to the nines. I had like, I don't know, I had a shirt that was from the 70s. It was this button down like banana or mustard colored shirt. But my jeans are like very modern, so it didn't make much sense. But everybody else had like leisure suits, or they look like a roller girl, like that Heather Graham character from Boogie Nights.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was booze, there was food, and 70s music, and people just skating around. It was pretty incredible. I mean, I can't really top anything like those two events. So I have fuck all planned for my birthday. I mean, I'm probably going to go out to get breakfast, and I'm probably going to go to this bar in town called South Park Tavern to get some excellent pizza. And to have a beer, and to watch Walking Dead, and that, because that's what they do on Sunday nights. And I know that's probably not your primo idea for a birthday celebration. Primarily, just the Walking Dead portion of that.
Yeah, the Walking Dead part of that sounds just awful. I watched. I'm trying to get caught up. I think I'm only one behind now, and the second episode since they've come back, like, I absolutely hated that episode. I watched it today, and. In the episode before it, Herschel, the old guy, he gets wasted. Like, he goes to this bar in town, and like, he's just like sloppy drunk, you know, because his whole family is dead. Spoiler alert. And so he's getting wasted and stuff. And then they pick up the next episode, you know, immediately afterwards. Like, it takes place, you know, just right afterwards, you know. And now all of a sudden, Herschel is not drunk anymore, because the writing doesn't call for that. We needed him, you know, the writers got together and they're like, well, we need Herschel to be drunk at the end of this episode because it makes sense emotionally. But then when he actually has to, like, get his ass in gear and escape from zombies, he's not going to be stumbling around or drunk anymore. And that's how a lot of that writing works on that show. Just whatever they need at that moment, that's how they write it.
If you want to see how good the writing is, you should check out episode 3 and tell me where Herschel is in that episode. Spoiler alert! He is nowhere to be found in that episode.
I'll have to check that out.
Nah, I mean, it's up to you. Like, I'm probably going to watch it this Sunday anyway because it's something to do. And because I'm really bad at planning, like, good birthday parties. But, yeah, I had no idea.
Yeah, that's one thing that show does. Like, They just get rid of characters for a little while. They bring in new characters somehow. I was watching that new one, and Shane's at the table talking about something. And then just this new blonde girl is like, hey, don't cuss in my house. And I haven't seen this girl. Like, apparently she's been there the last 2 years. But that was the first time I saw her or noticed her. So I think they're just sneaking people in into the cast.
Yeah, honestly, I wouldn't put it past the show. Again, it's one of those things where I'm trying to give it as much leeway as possible because it's the only show next to American Dad that I'll watch on a Sunday evening. And I don't really get to catch American Dad because I'm out like just doing stuff. And when I get back in, Walking Dead's the only thing on. Yeah, so I'd be perfectly content with that being my birthday. But instead, no, I'm just going to get pizza, get a beer, call it a day. I might go to Arcade Legends in Cincinnati because they moved down to the Cincinnati Mall.
Yeah.
However, I called ahead, and they do not have the Doctor Who pinball machine up and running because it has been worn out. They verified that the motor had worn out because too many people were playing it. That's how popular the Doctor Who pinball machine was. It was too popular to keep on the floor.
Well, if you're going to go try to play that Doctor Who pinball game, I hope you take a companion.
Always take a companion. Very nicely done.
Always take a towel, too.
Well, that's Douglas Adams and Hitchhiker's Guide. But
and now it's time for the lightning round.
First up in the lightning round, headline is Get a Real Job, the note with 1% tip left by wealthy banker after $133 lunch as an insult to the 99%. An arrogant banker has done all in his power to enforce his position as the, quote, 1%, end quote, all the while reminding everyone else they're not. After dining on a meal at a boutique Newport Beach, California restaurant, the banker left only $1.33 on a $133.54 tab. Adding insult to injury, he gave the server, Brianna, another tip. Get a real job.
What an important joke.
It's a very funny joke of this guy. As we've talked about a lot of times, I think that tipping for tipping's sake is absurd. If this guy wants to tip 1%, that's his prerogative. A tip is just that. It's you deciding how much extra this person gets on top of how much they already get paid by their employer. It's not mandatory. And if this restaurant wants to make tipping mandatory, they can do that. Some restaurants do that. They added mandatory tips. But they haven't done that, so it's up to the person. What's crazy about this, though, is this became a thing because this rich businessman took one of his employees or more than one of his employees out to dinner. And that person was shocked and outraged and put a picture of the receipt in this story on their blog, which has since been taken down and they've probably been fired for making fun of their employer. But this person, rather than being outraged and posting some stupid bullshit on their blog to get back at their employer for being stingy, this guy got a free meal from his boss and very well could have left a tip himself to make up for his boss's inconsiderate nature. But no, rather than actually do something and stick up for the things you believe in and put your money where your mouth is, he took to a blog to just bitch about it.
Well, I know neither of us could afford a $133 meal. And I'm totally against this guy. There's no reason to be living get a real job as part of a tip. Not only is that such a fucking played out dumb joke that shows the type of character this guy is, this guy who thought it was apparently funny to leave a $1.33 tip. It's just, it doesn't excuse the fact that he's an asshole. So I don't critique the blogger for not leaving a tip. He probably couldn't. I couldn't. I mean, I wouldn't be able to leave like the 20 to 15 standard for it. But fuck, I mean, this guy's an idiot. I mean, I see where you're coming from. Sure, the guy should have his own values and be like, hey, now wait a minute. That's not right, my employer. Well, how about I just leave a tip on top of that? That guy could probably just easily said, no, don't leave a tip. Do you want to get fired today? Or any of that shit? I mean, peer pressured him out of it. It's weird going to lunch with an employer sometimes if you're not on the same terms and if you don't agree with the kind of person they are. Especially in today's climate when you can be unemployed for any stretch amount of time and that fear of unemployment is what's making you stay in your job and keep your head down. I'm certain this guy is probably, this blogger is probably not employed anymore since this made its rounds and whatnot. The guy may have got wind of it. But yeah, fuck him. I mean, that guy, he deserves worse than just being posted about as being a stingy tipper, apparently. Well, anybody who writes get a real job with a connection to the tip on a receipt, they're probably an asshole. And not like an asshole like in a funny, oh, he's a Tucker Max character or what a jokey, roguish type. No, he's just a dick with a lot of money. Like most other people who are willing to do this sort of shit. $133 meal. $1.33 tip. I mean, this isn't Europe. You're right. Like people in the service industry don't have an included tip with their paycheck. And it sucks and it's shitty. But honestly, that is a slap in the face and it's disgusting.
Well, one thing this story doesn't bother to get into is whether or not the person got good service or not. I mean, what if they got shitty service? What if their food sucked? It was cold. It was late. They didn't get any drink refills. Then this person is more than justified in doing this, I feel.
But yeah, if anything that was reported on, then yeah. But for as it stands, that doesn't excuse the fact that this person thought that get a real job was excellent to write. This is not, I mean, we could go into all the details. Like the server may have been to college, may have had like either a bio degree or an art degree. It doesn't matter. That person is doing this job the best they can. And sometimes the kitchen gets backed up. Sometimes it doesn't. Could have been a shitty server. Maybe not have been. Still. Really necessary? Get a real job written on it?
Yeah, I mean, that part's dickish, but, you know. I mean, if there are cigarette ashes in your omelet, then yeah. Then you feel free to write get a real job on your receipt. But, like I said, this, of course, this story doesn't give us the real scoop on whether or not he was justified in doing this.
Yeah.
It's very possible.
My problem with the phrasing get a real job is that the guy still makes the point to go out to a service industry to take part in it. So if he doesn't think this is a real job, then he should just go fuck himself. I mean, this is he obviously does not believe in the practice anyway. And if he's a banker, then somebody should be writing that on their service slips, like their deposit forms. Oh, give this to your boss, the guy who wrote get a real job on it. So I'm moving my shit to a real institution, like a credit union or something. Something that's not going to exploit me at every, you know, fucking turn just to make that extra dime. So banking, you know, I would also argue is not a real job. I mean, there's nothing. Well, I'm going to get in hot water for that because it's just fucking like.
Because all your friends are bankers.
All my banking friends are going to hear this podcast.
All your friends.
No.
1%.
No, every time I hear anybody talk about being with a bank, it's so depressing. Like, they just talk about outrageous interest rates and how they're being fucked over at every turn. And I've been perfectly happy at a credit union since forever. I've never been at a bank. So I don't know what they're talking about.
I don't know nothing about no banks. I stick my cash in a coffee can and I hide it under a mattress.
What?
makes sleeping very uncomfortable. Yeah, no money's safe.
But what if your dog steals that coffee can and buys some cigarettes with it?
He probably will.
Yeah.
He's a thief. But yeah, like the get a real job part is a dick move. But I feel the guy.
If he said get a better job, I would have been like, okay, that's good. Because, like, you know, maybe he's at least giving some support. Like, here's a tip, get a better job. Go to school, but get a real job? That's such a lazy fucking response. I mean, you want to hear how lazy that is? George W. Bush said that to Michael Moore, that's how generic. I mean, going back to like mediocre movies and storytelling, that's the most mediocre joke you can make to somebody in service. Such a fucking, oh, I hate this guy. I hate him on principle just for that note, the words that he chose and the time they took to write it.
Yeah. So my qualm's not with that. That's a dick move, but if he feels justified in leaving a dollar, that's on him. One thing that does also enrage me about this is that a Mr. Wilcox, who's like the restaurant manager or owner or something like that, says the restaurant will do everything they can to make it up to Brianna, the waitress, somehow. And here's how you can make it up to this waitress who got, stiffed on this tip, is start paying her a living wage.
Yeah, exactly.
Start doing.
And I agree with you on that. That's like $5 to $7. That's no.
Yeah. Stop trying to think that you can not pay your employees and guilt trip your customers into doing it for you. Maybe that would be a good way to make it up to her.
Right. I mean, that's the thing. It's like you go, well, in my experience being like in Japan or in Europe, you never left a tip because at least there was a living wage being supported. Like, that was just part of their version of the service industry. So in some ways, it is an actual job over there. For here, it's not. It's not fair to point it out as a tip on the fucking receipt. There is a difference. Now, I totally agree with that. They're probably, I don't understand why that's the case. There should be at least some balance to it. That story bums me out. Can I move to the next one?
Sure.
Okay. Professional wrestler sues opponent after losing testicle from match. In Jeffersonville, Indiana, a former professional wrestler is suing his opponent and the Indiana-based promoter who arranged their bout last year, claiming his foe was supposed to lose their match, but had other ideas and kicked him so hard in the crotch that one of his testicles ruptured and had to be removed.
Mm-hmm.
There we go. That brought my spirits up again.
I've seen this many times before. The old testicle elimination match.
That's your favorite match right after a loser leaves town.
Yeah, yeah.
Testicle leaves crotch.
Yeah, it's the loser leaves town, testicle leaves crotch. And of course, one of my favorite matches, the King of the Serbian Ring, where the loser has to rape a decapitated corpse.
God. And listen to dubstep while doing so.
Yep. I didn't know that you could get kicked so hard in the nuts that they could explode and then you could lose them.
It's a Michael Bay style explosion. It's like a mini fireball.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like I should, forward this story to our friend Gigi, who is a professional wrestler, and tell him to protect his nuts at all cost.
Yeah, this one actually doesn't give very much detail either. I like the owner of the Coliseum Championship Wrestling, the promotion, when asked about like this incident or anything. He says, quote, "The kid never complained about nothing." He sounds like such a sleazy promoter. Like you can just see the cigar in his mouth and shit.
Yeah, I like this quote. Kicking someone between the legs is not a normal dance move in professional wrestling.
Yeah.
But it should be.
Yeah, it definitely should be.
This is a bummer for that guy. I'm sad for him. And as he's an independent wrestler,
probably can't afford this, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, probably could. Not only is he did one of his testicles blow up, but he's going to pay for it out of pocket.
But now I can literally say that he's actually busted a nut.
That is a great joke.
Thank you.
Yeah, it turns out, all these guys, all these wrestlers I like, these Jeff Hardys and these Edges jumping off of 80-foot ladders onto New Jack through a press table onto a bunch of spikes and barbed wire. And those guys live to tell the tale, but this guy lost a testicle and such a basic move. Just a guy lifting his legs slightly into your nuts.
Yeah, like, I don't know what to think of every PG-13 movie I've ever seen where somebody gets racked or hit in the nuts now. Like, it just seems dangerous.
Yeah, yeah. Like, now I feel bad for the Wolfman from Monster Squad.
Like Wolfman's got nards, but maybe he's only got one after that hit.
Yeah, at first I thought those kids were justified kicking him in the nuts, you know, because he, like, the Wolfman wanted to eat them and everything. But now it's like, I mean, he could suffer permanent damage from that, kids. Like, fight fair.
He's only a wolf, like, a few nights out of the year.
Yeah, just wait till he's human and just,
wants to have kids.
Yeah.
Next on the lightning round is the Stash Act would trim taxes for the mustachioed. Now that the payment tax... excuse me. Now that the payroll tax cut extension is safely out of the way, the latest tax legislation gambit in Congress appears to be a tongue-in-cheek effort to provide an annual 250 tax deduction for people with mustaches. What would the $250 be spent for, you might ask? Grooming supplies, mustache wax, and trimmers can be expensive. The effort is being spearheaded by a group called the American Mustache Institute, which has teamed up with H&R Block on a social media campaign via Facebook and YouTube to promote the legislation. There are even a few celebrities involved, including singer John Oates of Hall & Oates, Ellie Kemper of the sitcom The Office, and Milwaukee Brewers pitcher John Axford. And the AMI is planning to hold a Million Mustache March in Washington, D.C. on April 1st, which should be a giveaway that the campaign is not altogether serious. In fact, when this news report received an email about it at the Accounting Today offices, some wondered if the whole thing was an April Fool's Day prank or a publicity stunt. And with an April 1st March date, I'm guessing publicity stunt.
Yeah, this mostly makes me upset because it's a hipster thing. I'm sure a bunch of hipsters are real excited that their shitty, ironic mustaches are garnering attention. And as I've said before, facial hair is not to be celebrated or thought about or, you know, you're not supposed to put wax in it. It's something that's supposed to happen when you give up on life.
Right?
That's what a beard and mustache is for. The bigger your beard and mustache, the more... the less you care about being alive. Not the longer your mustache, the cooler you think you look when you're out buying PBR and vinyl records that are out of print.
Yeah, I just actually had a friend who had a wax mustache. That looked pretty stylish, by the way, and was not at all like part of a hipster movement. Well, I mean...
Oh, it's part of the hipster movement.
There's as little of a hipster movement as you can imagine, because he holds a normal job. Does not...
Unless you're like, really? Unless you're a 65-year-old dad, all mustaches are ironic.
Yeah. Anyway, he ended up shaving it off recently, and his joke about it was saying that mustaches were so January 2012, like a very specifically close date. So he had it for a while, and it, you know, sometimes it just does look good for his, whatever thoughts you might have on a mustache on a teen, like a 20 something or 30 something. But yeah, I totally agree. Like a healthy beard and mustache is when those 3 minutes after your shower are just too long. If you indeed do take a shower in the morning, like you just don't want to shave.
Yeah. That's the correct time to start shaving. It was when you realize that the 3 or 4 minutes it would take to shave is like, just too much work and you need to get back on Twitter.
Yeah,
but when you actually think, hey, I'm gonna put work in, like that's it's sort of akin to atheism. Like real atheists and real people with beards and mustaches do it because they don't like the alternative. They just don't care enough. They're fairly certain there is no beard god out there, and they don't want to have to go to church, and like they just don't care. But
or they're really into metal and believe in Norse gods.
Yeah, that's true. But you know, or, you know, if you're going to grow a mustache, you know, and like put all this wax in it and try real hard, like that, those are the kind of atheists that build the temples and are like real annoying and stuff like that. Like if you have facial hair, like I said, it's supposed to be because you don't give a crap about anything except for your manifesto and finding a nice cabin in the woods and reading J.D. Salinger books.
Do you remember the last time that you shaved?
Well, I trimmed up recently.
Well, yeah, but I mean like a clean shave.
Oh, it's been 4 years, 5 years.
Healthy beard and mustache.
You got that right.
Yeah. Skin is so pale under that hairy mane. So, did you ever see me with my beard?
Yeah, yeah. When we saw Iron Man, you had a nice beard.
Yeah, that shit was too legit. I was really lazy those days.
Yeah,
there was nothing to do with irony. I was just kept grading papers and had no time for anything.
That's
except seeing Iron Man.
That's apparently that's the only acceptable reason to grow a beard. Like when somebody's like, "Hey, nice facial hair. Why you got that?" If your answer is anything other than "I just don't care," you know, like then you're doing it wrong. I just don't care if I touch my face or put any effort into anything at all in my entire life. I'm lazy. I don't know. I mean, it would be nice. I would like to get this $250 tax credit, so I guess I can't be too hard on this thing.
Yeah. You did say you just trimmed recently, and those trimming tools aren't cheap.
They don't grow on trees.
They don't grow on faces either. Waka waka. Yeah. Yeah, I imagine that there's probably some bitter and sweet in this story for you. Frankly, I mean, I shave daily, so I could care less. Yeah. The fact that it's for mustache, though, and not for, like, anything else is kind of silly. I mean, the entire thing is kind of silly, since most employers don't really care whether you have facial hair anymore. I think Disney just went lax on their practices. So them being, like, some of the most conservative employers around, from what I understand, yeah, it's like this doesn't really need attention. I mean, I would still go to the fact that we need to have a resolution to bigger problems than mustache tax breaks, mustache and facial hair tax breaks. Like, what about everybody who's dying from hunger? That's still a thing, right?
Yeah, Iran saying, "Hey, we're going to blow up the entire world." And this guy's like, "Hey, I got to get back to work on this mustache
bill." With his feather, like his quill and ink, and old timey parchment.
Yeah.
Most important piece of legislation. Or what he could do, if his mustache is long enough, he could just wax the tips and dip that in ink and write with a very long, like, handlebar mustache.
Yeah, that'd be pretty good.
Very, very wise. So, yeah, moving on. Last story in our lightning round is that the Obama administration plan would kill rival bird to save the spotted owl.
How do you feel about this?
Part of the article says Interior Secretary Ken Salazar called the draft plan a science-based approach to forestry that restores the health of our lands and wildlife and supports jobs and revenue for local communities. I don't know. I mean, this being like off Washington Post, I'm not surprised that they keep saying Obama administration plan. When I'm guessing a lot of this was, it's been a gear turning thing since you and I were kids. Like, I remember hearing about the spotted northern owl when I was younger. And it's always kind of a lean into protecting endangered species. And frankly, like, I kind of see this as like a science-based approach. Like, I know I just said that there's more things to be taken care of than mustache initiatives, but this is like, I don't really care either way about what they discuss in this article. I mean, I know it's supposed to be like a sensationalist piece, like, oh, they would kill one owl to say another. Well, I mean, shit, like, if you want to talk about killing stuff, you can talk about what's going on overseas. And I know you don't think that animals are necessarily important as humans, but they're innocent. It's not like any of them hold radical philosophies or beliefs or idiot political policies in their minds. I mean,
owls probably do. They look diabolical.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, owls are probably some of the rudest and most disgusting birds in the animal kingdom, but they are not as rude or disgusting as some of the people who would talk out against them or talk negatively about this at all. Like, they, from what I understand, they are endangered. It looks like the population is slipping. That's the point of trying to maintain some sort of population increase. Like, yeah, I mean, I kind of figured the entire point of the story is just that, isn't it silly that they would kill one bird to save another? Yeah, in a respect, but I mean, one of those birds is going to be extinct. I mean, how far do you let it go? It's not exactly like a red ant situation where it's such a minuscule animal or anything like that, that why would you care? But, I don't know. I'm interested. I don't want to read the comments to this article because I know they're just going to be all bullet-headed and kind of obnoxious to read. And again, like, I don't really care about it. Like, this is, it's a science-based initiative. I think it's not the most important one, but, you know, where do you let these things slide, I guess, would be my question.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've talked about things like this sort of before, like when the Australians decided that to curb greenhouse gases, they would start killing all the camels. Yeah, we talked about the Australians before, that they wanted to curb greenhouse gases, so they decided to kill all the camels because their farts caused greenhouse gases. And I don't understand.
Which is hilarious, by the way.
Yeah, it's a much funnier plan than this plan. And I don't really understand environmentalism like this. Like, I could see, you know, like you said, like, it would be bad if an animal went extinct. And that's true. But if it's being replaced by a slightly larger, same exact animal, then it's like, who cares? You know, like, it's owls are in abundance. It's not like the last owl. It's not like saying, oh, you know, gorillas are about to go extinct, so, you know, we should start killing off, some very common animal that lives near the gorillas, some gazelles or whatever, to save the gorillas. Like, that I could understand. But to kill off one owl to save the same exact owl is ridiculous. And, you know, just from an environmental standpoint, like, it just doesn't seem to make much sense.
Yeah, I admit, I mean, it's kind of silly to be doing this. And it makes note in this article that in order to save, what was it? There was a previous mandate where to protect salmon, it says, they were killing off sea lions on the West Coast in California because the sea lions were eating way too much salmon. So it's not just people exploiting resources. It can be animals exploiting other animals to the extent that those other animals are almost, you know, withered and completely gone.
Yeah. So that's natural selection, though. That's supposed to happen in nature. So to try to stop that seems silly.
It does to an extent, but I mean, we have this cognition, and I think for the most part, humans want to sustain and survive as a species. Obviously, that's not going to happen, you know, for billions and billions of years, but at least for the millions and millions that we have already.
For the millions!
And for the dozens and dozens of fans, yeah. Yeah, part of the cognition that we have is to sustain some sort of responsibility in order to sustain ourselves. So it's like, yeah, if the sea lions completely annihilate the salmon population, well, yeah, it's natural selection. But what does that mean for people who can eat salmon or just down the line? Like, it's one thing that leads to another, and we can always be hopeful that it balances out, but we're so prevalent and we have so much control, like the forestry thing. If we have control over that, or if we can regulate these certain things, the hope is that, you know, we can sustain ourselves as part of this ecological circle a bit longer. It would be interesting to see what happens if we just kind of like laid our hands off and see just how nature plays itself out. Sometimes it's really shitty. I mean, it could be really crap. So far, the things that we've done to kind of exploit resources have also been really crap. I mean, not just the forestry thing, but the drilling for oil. Like, the Gulf of Mexico is still a shitstorm, and a lot of animals are fucked because of that. So
I think it's better now than before.
You get a nice sort of sheen when you come out.
Yeah.
A nice odorific sheen. You don't have birds flying over you just because they can't. They're so weighed down. So you have to worry about that poop in the eye.
But yeah, like you were saying with the salmon. You don't want the sea lions to eat all the salmon. That way humans can eat salmon. But like when the salmon are all gone, then we can just eat the fucking sea lions. It'll be great. It'll be even
sea lion tacos.
Yeah.
Have you ever had sea lion before?
I don't think you're allowed to eat it, but they look delicious. I've seen sea lions whenever I go like to the coast into the Bay Area and stuff. They're always hanging around.
Yeah, there's plenty. Don't get me wrong. Like, I think there's a shit ton of sea lions. I mean, and they're loud. Yeah. I don't think anything that loud and obnoxious could be tasty, but I'm wrong most of the time about loud, obnoxious stuff.
They're really super loud. Like, last time I went to San Francisco, I was there in the Ben & Jerry's at Haight-Ashbury, and there was one sitting right next to me.
In the Haight? Weird. I thought that was pretty far in, wasn't it?
Well, he was there with his family. They were, you know, doing a little tourism. They wanted
they wanted some patchouli or something?
Yeah, they wanted to buy some patchouli, and they wanted to get some Chunky Monkey.
Right.
And they were very loud. I didn't hear them.
But not as loud as that family from Kansas sitting at the other table.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that family, the patriarch of that family was that old Depression-era prospector that we've talked about so many times before.
Right on, yeah. Yeah. He's living in Northern California.
Yeah, he's a bigot. So I didn't care to be between either of those two families.
I bet they barked a lot, too. Like, just barked. Like, I can't stand how many ethnicities are here. Art.
Yeah, yeah. The prospector got pretty racist towards the sea lions. It was a bad scene. I broke out.
Yeah.
It ended.
Get your flippers back to the shore and off of my Ben & Jerry's Cherry Garcia. But yeah. Anything else to say about this story or anything that you want to add?
Not really. I don't know. Try to work on saving cool animals, I think. Let's save the chimps and the whales, and who gives a shit about birds? Let all the birds die for all I care. Fuck them. They're stupid and loud.
I'm interested in your newsletter and brochure.
It's badly Xeroxed, but I'll get one.
That's the only kind of brochures I take these days, are the badly Xeroxed ones, because no one uses a Xerox machine anymore. It's all printers, baby.
But seriously, like, anything like owls or, like, fish, like, if you can't tell me by looking at it, like, exactly what kind of animal it is, it deserves to die. Like, for instance, if I showed you a picture of a chimp, you would know it was a chimp. If I showed you a picture of a dog, you'd know it was a dog. If I showed you a picture of some random bird, you would just say, oh, that's bird. So it deserves to die. Like, if you can't narrow it down to, like, a specific type of animal.
I think what's funny about that is that there's, like, still tons of animals that we don't know just by virtue that, like, we've never studied it or seen it before. And I find it hilarious that the idea is, like, nope, never seen this one before. Kill it. Make it die.
Well, I mean,
if you can't tell what it is, just bash its head in.
Well, if, like, some researchers are out, like, you know, in the Amazon, and they come across a new breed of dog, they'll be like, hey, a new breed of dog, cool. Like, I know exactly what this is. Let's let it live. But if you find, like, a new breed of, you know, bug, who gives a crap? Trample it.
Trample it. I don't know what this is, crush.
Yeah. A new breed of bird. We've got so many birds, and they're all basically the same thing. You got wings, you got eyes, you got a beak. Fuck you. We don't need new ones. We need new interesting animals. Like, who gives a shit? Birds are sucky. Imagine how much better your life would be without birds. They wouldn't poop on your car. They wouldn't be making loud noises. You wouldn't have to stay vigilant when you take your dog out because there are owls and crows all over the place, eagles and stuff like this.
Your dog, which is like the size of a mouse.
Yeah, I know, it's exactly.
Like a tasty treat for an owl.
I know, it's dangerous as fuck. If somebody got rid of all those owls, my dog wouldn't have to worry about becoming prey. What would the Obama administration do about that if Kepi became extinct?
The Kepi initiative. We gotta keep this dog alive forever.
Got mail.
This week, we actually have no mail.
Well, that means it's the end of the show, then. When there's no mail, that's the end. But fear not, because next week we'll be back with a big episode. We got Shelby Cobras, I do believe, from the Illogical Contraption Radio, which you can find at illogicalcontraption.blogspot.com or on iTunes. He'll be here. We'll probably talk about some big featsmen, ghosts.
Sounds good.
Conspiracies, scary stuff. Maybe. Or maybe we won't talk about any of that stuff. We'll see.
And you were just recently on that show, right?
Indeed, I was. I was on the second to most recent episode as of right now. And you can also find their show. It's live every Friday night at 10 Pacific on FCCFreeRadio.com. Also, the week after that, we got another big show. Huge show. A show that we're both very excited about.
Oh, yes.
We're going to be joined by Justin Roiland, the creator of The House of Cosby's, the voice of Lemon Grab on Adventure Time, the kitten calendar guy from Acceptable TV.
Also a mainstay on the Disney Channel cartoon Fishhooks.
Indeed.
And
the papa of the Grandma's Virginity podcast.
Indeed. And so much more.
So much.
If you just...
So yeah, so he'll be here the week after that. So that'll be big. We're very excited. And then the week after that, unless I'm bad at math, I think that will be our 50th episode, which means we're going to be wasted. We're very excited about this. We've been talking about this for a long time. So we're finally going to do a drunk episode.
Oh, yes. It'll be very, very drunk. Parker and I typically keep things very on the level for the show because we want to produce a very good show for you. But our 50th anniversary, we are kicking everything to the wind, and especially me, because I don't really let loose so much. I know Parker. Do you partake in anything during these recordings?
Well, I never used to, and then I think about 10 episodes ago, I started drinking wine during them.
Okay.
And each episode, I think I get a little bit more wine in my glass before recording. So I think I'm getting progressively drunker as we go on, but I'm just going to jump into the deep end for the 50th episode. It's a celebration.
Likewise. Yeah, I see it that same way. And if anybody listened to the Acid Pop Cult where Parker and I were on, imagine ourselves on that episode with Jeremy playing trivia and just amp it up like 100 times that much.
We shouldn't promise 100 times that drunkenness.
Probably I would say like at least 25% as much.
Yeah.
As what was going on there.
We're planning on getting nicely toasted.
Very nicely toasted. Yeah. Big plans ahead. So stay tuned to Pool Party Radio.
Yeah. In the meantime, go to poolpartyradio.com. Like I said, check out all those episodes. Download each and every one of them. Also go to iTunes and leave us some ratings and some stars and things like that. That way other people can find the show. Or just tell people. If you like the show, walk up to your good friend, Ferguson, and just be like, yo, Ferguson, you need to check out Pool Party Radio. I see you standing here listening to the Marc Maron show, and it sucks. Listen to Pool Party Radio. And most importantly, less importantly, actually, than the last thing I said, but still very important, go to facebook.com/poolpartyradio and like us. And, then we'll get a dialogue going. We'll be Facebook buddies. And, so that's about it. So, until next week, I am Parker for Razorblades, saying fuck you, Chelios.
Frodo, don't wear the ring. I know it's very tempting. Yes, you will appear to disappear, but the Dark Riders, they'll know you're there. Yes, Lord Sauron has many spies.
Many spies have many eyes.
One ring to bind them, to find them. One ring to rule them all. One ring to bind them, one to find them. One ring to rule them all. Yeah, Frodo, you've got to rule them. Frodo, rule them with Grimm. Come on, rule them with your rhythm.
Lord Sauron has many spies, beasts, and birds.
If you want him, come and claim him.
Do they, Gandalf?
I'm not a conjurer of cheap tricks. I can't carry the ring. I can carry you, Mr. Frodo.
You have my sword.
And my bow.
And my axe.
Noro ni mishvermarning.
Mordor.
We'll never make it. There's thousands of them and only 9 of us.
Oh.
We made it.
Hooray. We made it.
Yo, Frodo, what you doing wearing the ring? All-powerful jewelry, is that your new thing? I know it's hard when you're little more than 3'4", your little ass so close to the floor. Trying to lead the fellows to the gates of Mordor.
The fellowship?
Yeah, the fellowship.
But don't rap about bitches and hoes, I rap about witches and trolls. Cause I'm passing on the words of the Elven King, who is them to all. Frodo, don't wear the ring.
Frodo, don't wear the ring.
The magical link bling.
You'll never be the Lord of the Ring.